crown him with many crowns, throw them upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him.
Just Oh, thank you for the privilege, Lord, of singing with those that are singing in heaven right now before you. We'll join the everlasting song, the song that goes on forever and ever and ever, and crown you. Oh, Jesus is the only one who deserves that crown and receives that crown as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a privilege to bow before him and worship, and what a privilege to be invited to sing and respond in praise. Thank you. Thank you for tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Let's be seated.
I ask you to turn to Proverbs 31. Just going to read the first 9 verses of Proverbs 31. The last part of the chapter is, of course, the virtuous woman. We won't get into that tonight. We'll save that for next week. But the first 9 chapters, our first 9 verses we'll look at this evening. Proverbs 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Notice once again, several of these verses speak of standing up for or speaking for the poor, the needy, the afflicted. And again, sometimes we are guilty of looking down on the poor and the needy and the afflicted. But throughout Proverbs and elsewhere in Scripture, God cares about the poor.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand. Guide my feet, hold my hand. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. My hand, precious Lord, lead me.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Now we're going to take your microphone away. We're doing response time again tonight, and we've had several Sunday nights where we've done testimonies, and that's a wonderful thing because we have much to thank God about, and it's a good thing when we have an event not to just let it move on, but to testify about God's goodness. And tonight, as you might imagine, we're going to do a response time on the giveaway. And again, whether you were directly, indirectly a part of it, prayed about it, and heard what happened, something that blessed, it'd be great to hear from you. Sue is not here tonight, but I did ask her if she'd be willing to write something short. She plans to share more next week. So let me read that to you from her as you think about maybe what the Lord would want you to say tonight. She says, "The word that I would use to describe the giveaway is incredible. We had so much fun putting it together and making it an event where we are hopeful that the people who come see the love of Jesus. The one thing we added was prayer for any who requested it. Donations were great and the volunteers were over the top. When Rachel and I can get all our thoughts together, we will share the amazing week we had. Thank you so much." Like Don mentioned this morning, Sue and Rachel led the way in so many ways on making it happen, but there was also a ton of church people involved, so thank you for that. I know they were very thankful with how things went. Let me read a little bit of scripture to you here. You'll recognize this. It's the parable of the sower, and I'm reading from Luke on this one. "When a large crowd was coming together and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into a good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And as he said these things, he will call out, 'He who has ears, let him hear.'" And then just skip down where the disciples had asked Jesus, "What does this mean?" He tells them this. "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." There's a lot of seed put down Friday and Saturday, and it was a joy to be able to do that with you as a church family. And I just thought of this parable heavily that day, especially Friday. We just don't know with the folks that came in, you know, what kind of soil they were. We really don't know. But what we do know is, like Jesus did, he put down seed and some responded and many did not. But for the some that will respond by God's sovereignty and his plan, it's worth it. Whether that's 5, 15, 32, we don't know, but it's worth it. One of the highlights I had this morning, so often with this event, so often we do not see anyone the next day, but maybe you noticed. We had some visitors here this morning, and they were visiting as a direct result of the giveaway. And I had a chance to talk to these three ladies briefly this morning, and one of the ladies said, "I've never been to your church before, and I don't really know. I really liked the service. I really liked it, but I don't know how to do this church thing." And I said, "You're here. You did the first step. You did this church thing. You came. You came, and we're thrilled that you're here. We love visitors." I said, "Come back and find out how much that the people here are changed by the love of God. It's a wonderful thing that you're here, and we want to surround you with the love of God and that he has shown for us, and you see it changed people. So hopefully she'll be back, but it was just wonderful to see that, an immediate result from that. So you never know. You never know. And you know what? Even if one of those three come to know Christ, is it worth it? Absolutely, right? Everything we could have stuffed this building with, absolutely worth it for one soul. So Lydia's going to walk around with a microphone, and I'd like to hear from you as well, your praises from the testimony.
Yeah, I'll just briefly share. This was my first opportunity to be at this giveaway, and it was incredible. I think it's a good way to explain it. I had been prepared, I guess, what was going to come, and they said, just you wait. Friday morning is going to come, and there's going to be people lined up, and the parking lot's going to be full, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened, and I think I was well prepared because I'd heard all the stories, and when I came, I'm like, okay. All right, well, this is what they described it to be. But so wisely, I actually spent most of my time outside because I didn't want to be amongst the craziness and chaos that was happening in this room right here. But because of that, I got to greet most all the people who came through the door on Friday morning. Some may have snuck by me, but I tried to greet as many as I could. And then I don't remember if it was, I think it was Friday, sometime Friday, late morning, one of the parents of one of the teenagers came through. And there's more than, I saw more than one, but this particular one, I went to school with him. And I happened to hear someone say his name. So I kind of said, you know, hey, are you so-and-so? And they said, yeah. And I said, you don't remember me, do you? Nope. And they were getting ready to walk away from me because they were like, you're weird. So I said, no. I introduced myself to him, and he looked at me just for a second longer, and he says, okay, I know who you are. So, and it struck up a great conversation. You know, I would probably describe the soil there as very hard. I don't think it was fertile soil, but it gave me an opportunity to connect with him. His son actually comes to the youth group, and I was not real close friends with him going to school, but it gave me an opportunity to really connect with him. And for me, that was worth it, just to be able to connect with him and hopefully encourage him. We have, as you know, many teenagers who come to the church and their parents don't, and we need to be praying for those teenagers as well as those parents because, you know, we want to reach our youth. But one of the best ways to reach your youth is to reach the parents. And so we need to be praying for them. So I was really thrilled that I got a chance to finally meet him and several other parents, or several other individuals. I was able to pray with many of them. I had one gentleman say to me, he says, well, I'm not really sure why I'm here, but he just started opening up about the fact that he had lost his wife. And I said, well, this is why you're here, that you can share what's going on in your life, and so I can pray for you. And we prayed together, and so that was just a unique opportunity. That's just two of many of the conversations I was able to have that day.
Thanks. Lydia got a cough going, so okay. Right now you have the microphone until she comes back. And you thought I was doing this alone, didn't you? I was very thankful to be able to work with Eddie on Friday. We spent a good part of the day together the opportunities to pray. You know what? We had a couple of our ladies suggest that we do this, and it was great that we could respond to do that. And we had an opportunity to pray before the doors were open and share the gospel through prayer, and then several moments of prayer as they walked out the door. And I was very thankful. You know, some people, you know, you ask them, is there anything I can pray for you about? And some people are like, no, I'm good. The fleshly, carnal side of me wants to say, then why are you here? But I, of course, didn't say that. But I'm very thankful that a number of them said, yeah, let me share with you. And we, you know, got opportunities to pray. And Again, for me, a application from what we've been learning over the several weeks has been pray the gospel. Share Jesus in your prayer, you know? And they said I could pray, so I'm going to pray. And in that prayer, I'm going to talk about Jesus and what he did on the cross. So thankful for those opportunities. You want to go over to Larry Huber?
What I'd like to share has nothing to do with the giveaway. But I will say or something
down,
about the giveaway
then,
so that I can get away with it. So what I really enjoyed about the giveaway this year is I got to work with people in the church that I didn't know before very well. Monday when we prepared and loaded stuff from Sue's, I worked with some people I didn't really know. And then Tuesday when we were setting up here, there were some people that I worked with. And that, to me, was the best part of preparing. But what I want to share with you took place, well, more than 6 weeks ago now. And I've been waiting for an opportunity to tell everybody, but it just never seemed to occur. And the last week of August was my next to last week of work, and I had two board meetings in the Colorado Rockies, poor me, that I had needed to attend. And I had worked with these people 15 to 20 years and built a lot. Maggie, too, she would come with some of them. And so we had built relationships with these people for a long time. And this was before we even knew there was an emphasis on evangelism coming up in the church. We didn't know that the guy was coming. We didn't know anything. But I said to Maggie the day before we left, I said, grab a couple four laws and throw them in our bag. I hope we get a chance to share with some of the people we know. And so we took those with us, and we had our meetings, and we didn't get an opportunity to share with them, but we had a couple days at the end of the week, so rather than just come back, we just went down the road to another lodge in the Rockies and spent, I think, about 2 days there, maybe two nights. And we had to get up early in the morning to get a shuttle for about a half an hour down to basically like a truck stop type place where the bus would pick us up and take us to the airport of Calgary. And so it's about 7:45, and I come outside, and there's a young woman, probably college age, I'd say, maybe a little older, and sitting there, and I struck up a conversation with her and just asked her what's going on. And it turns out she was from Australia, and she was returning home. So she had about a 30-some hour trip ahead of her. Something has happened in her family. And so then Maggie came out, and we both started talking to her. And the driver came around to pick us up, who also worked at this lodge. And he was also a young man, probably similar age, I'd say. And so we got in the car, and for about the next 20, 25 minutes, we talked to this girl. Got to know her and learned a little bit more about what was going on, her family. And so we get to this truck stop, and, of course, everybody goes in to it was like a convenience store type place to use the restroom and come out. And Maggie says to me, she goes, I'm going to share the four laws with this girl. And I said, oh, man, that's great. And she goes and gets the four laws out of my bag, and she sits there at a picnic table, and she's doing this. And I come walking around to the car and the Lord says to me, Larry, share with the driver. And I said, no, Lord, no. I mean, literally, I go, no, I'm not doing that. And then I said, okay. And I got in the car, and I thought, I have no idea what I'm going to say to this guy or I'm going to talk to him. But we talked for about the next 20 minutes, and the Lord gave me questions to ask, and the young man really opened up. And then I got a four laws, and I gave it to him. I said, this is what I've just told you about. So we got to share Christ with two people on the way home and fulfill the desire we had to go there. And again, we didn't know there was any emphasis, but we wanted to share our faith, and God gave us that opportunity. So I want everybody to hear that.
Amen. And there's no regret in doing it, isn't there? It's just the opposite, just all the joy in the world knowing that. I think it got mentioned a few weeks ago, but the deacons and the pastors are reading through the book, Just Walk Across the Room, which many of you are familiar with, and one of the early chapters has a paragraph, the the author is saying that God prompted him to speak, spoke to a guy, felt like the conversation went well, but there was no decision, and he left with peace. And that's a place where I know in my life I need to get to more and more. If you share the gospel, don't think in your mind that it is my responsibility not to leave that person until they pray, you know, pray the prayer or accept Christ. But just share, share, share. And again, he uses a scale. What if this weekend, with everybody that participated and prayed, that we moved a number of people from a -3 to a -1, or -8 to a -6, toward a zero, where if zero represents salvation, this is the point where he got saved, people got moved. That's wonderful to think about. But regardless, when we obey the Lord, we glorify him, right? When we obey the Lord, we do the right thing, and it pleases him. So that's up to him to give the increase, as Don preached about this morning. Who else? This way.
So a few weeks ago, my daughter-in-law and her mother-in-law went to see Priscilla Schreier, and we had two people that weren't able to come, so we had these extra tickets. And we were, like, asking everybody to give them to them. Well, everybody had them. And so we were just, like, together, we were like, oh, we hope God brings somebody that we can share these with. Otherwise, they're kind of a waste. Well, this woman came up, and she was, like, kind of frantic. And she's like, so my daughter's like, oh, do you need these tickets? And she's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Like, I wanted to come to this so much. My husband just dropped me off and said, well, if you're not able to get a ticket, then just call me, and I'll come pick you up. And we were able to give her a ticket, like God led her right to us, and we were able to bless her like that. It was her and a friend, actually, that were both looking for tickets, so it was actually two people. Although we were sad that people didn't get to go, we were able, it all worked, you know, God had a plan for the whole thing.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that. That's wonderful. God, whoever he intends to go, goes, right? I'll just praise the Lord for that. Good deal. Who else? Sharon.
I didn't certainly participate to the level that many others did with the giveaway, but we had a senior citizen friend from the Valley, a single lady who had some things she wanted to donate, and she had decided that she would bring them to the church, and her time to arrive was going to be early or sometime Monday morning. So I'm trying to warn her, saying, you know, no one may be there to help you. They may be moving, you know, with trucks from YSOX, but I was encouraging her just to leave whatever she had outside, and it would be cared for. But when we heard back from her, she said, I pulled up to the church, and a very nice man came out and helped me unload everything. So I thought it was a beautiful compliment regarding that very nice man, representative of many who were working that week. So,
good job, very nice man, whoever you are. Anyone else?
I don't want to steal Sue and Rachel's because I don't know what they're going to say, but I often wonder if the people that took things will remember where they got it from. Whether it was a pot and a pan or a dish or clothing or whatever, they may remember, and that's important. And the other thing is, we were so elated that some guy that none of us knew came at 12:30 on Saturday and said, I will take everything that you have, and it's through some organization that's legit, and we just all stared at each other. We all asked him, I felt bad because he probably thought we were crazy. We all asked him like 10 times, are you sure you want everything? Like, do you want like the glassware and the clothes and the TVs and the furniture, and he said everything, and that was five truckloads. and he took everything, and he was delighted to get it to whatever he can take it to, and we were elated too that we didn't have to try to figure out, because at that time we were all looking at each other. It's past time that we should be closed. There were still half a dozen people here looking, but he took whatever was left, and to this day we're like, wow, where did God send him from? And we were just thrilled with that, and so many people were thrilled. We had a couple people, at least I'm going to say a couple hundred, lined up. Both sidewalks were filled with people when we opened, but everybody was courteous. There was no pushing, shoving mob thing, as you and Eddie know. They were all just came in, and they looked around and stuff and filled their bags or whatever they had, and other people were taken out. And I also bless the three or four young ladies that folded clothes, and Sam was one of them, for hours and hours and hours, and Rachel and Evelyn were two other ones, and it was just amazing, because somebody said, how did they get them so tall? I said, I don't know, but they were able to do that, and they did that continuously. It seemed like 24 hours for 2 days straight, and it may have been longer than that, but it's nice to have some young ones help. Thank you.
Amen. We've got a huge silver ladder there. And Sam, were you on the ladder making the piles that tall or no? That was amazing. Like, it's double your height. I don't know how you did it. Oh, man. Now, that guy that showed up on Saturday, I was there to help take one truckload over. And when I heard that, I was like, let's go now before he changes his mind. Let's just load it up, take it on out here, go. And yeah, that was great. That's such a big relief off of the ones helping. Rob had his hand up, Lydia.
Yeah, this isn't really related to the giveaway. Sorry about that. But this week, I've been prompted, since we've gone on an evangelism theme here, to order some Gospels of John from the PACA Testament League. I got some of them this week, but I had some from a few years back from them, because I was a part of the league before. And I had, I was at a truck stop, and I was getting fuel, and there was a gentleman next to me, and he is getting his fuel, and I just introduced myself, started talking to him, and handed him a Gospel of John with a $1 million tract in it. You know what they are, Pastor Mike, but from Living Waters. It has a plan of salvation on the back and stuff. And I told him, read this. I said, read the back of it. I said, it'll help you understand what's in it. And it had the whole Gospel of John in it. So that happened this week, and I'm trying to do more of that throughout the week when I'm gone on the road. So.
Good. Praise the Lord. Good. Let's encourage one another. I just was starting to think about this when Larry was speaking. The ball needs to keep rolling, all right? Keep oiling things. Keep it moving, because I say that as a church, but I say that individually too. There's so much joy in doing what the Lord wants us to do when we obey him, and that's in all areas of our life. Let's encourage one another. How are you doing? How did this go? Like, how's your follow-up? Let's help one another to do the best we can to witness. I need it. We all need it. And when the ball is rolling, it's something that we don't want it to stop. Like, it's just not done now. Let's keep doing it week after week after week until it builds into a lifetime of doing it, so we see Christ. Any last ones? All right. Thank you very much for responding tonight.
I have several things I could say, but I'll just leave it to one thought as it relates to the giveaway. Obviously, we usually think of the hundreds. I think I didn't get a final count from Sue, but I know it was, what was it? 1,150, okay? 1,150 people coming through our doors. And obviously, we think of those people coming through our doors and the potential fruit that God could bring from that. But, you know, there's a lot of fruit, potential fruit, from others that didn't come through the doors. When I'm out and about in the community and people find out who I am, it's not infrequent that they'd say, oh, you're the church that does the giveaway. And it's not somebody that comes to the giveaway. It's somebody that they don't come because they don't really need to, but they think it's a wonderful thing that we do. And there's potential fruit there as well. Because when that individual does have a need, and maybe it's not going to be a material need, but maybe it's going to be an emotional or spiritual need, that who are they going to think about? They may think about that church that does that wonderful thing. And so there's potential fruit there as well. So as we pray, as we continue to pray for fruit from this ministry, it's not just the ones that come through the door, but it's the community of people out there that don't come through the door, but know that we have this and think that it's a great thing that we do. So keep that in mind as well as you pray. And then if I could just mention a couple of announcements. First of all, Claire Sidney passed away on Friday. And so pray for the Sidney family, Elaine D'Arazio, and of course Bobby and Hillary and the rest of the family as well. Pray for them. The funeral will not be until a week from tomorrow at 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon down at the Bowen Funeral Home. That's a week from tomorrow for the funeral for Claire. And then pray for Eula Gillette. She is not well and probably in a short time she'll be with the Lord. So pray for Eula, pray for the family there as well as they are beginning to make some of those arrangements also. So we have those two prayer requests. Let's pray for them right now before we get to our Bible study. Father, we are grateful for what has taken place here in the church building these last couple of days, Friday and Saturday, with the giveaway and for the hundreds that came through the door. And Father, again, we have mentioned that the material, physical needs of some were met, but the greatest need is spiritual, and we pray that they would recognize their own spiritual need. And thank you for the ones that did come this morning as a direct result of this giveaway, and we pray that they would continue to come and that we'd have further opportunities just to share the gospel with them. And Father, we, as we've just mentioned, we pray for others in our community that they don't have a need to come to such an event as this, but they think it's a great thing that we do, a great way to reach those needy. And I pray, Father, that they will recognize that they are just as needy spiritually and that they would come to recognize their need of a Savior and that we'd have opportunity there as well. So we pray for fruit. We've planted, we've watered, we wait upon you for the increase. Father, we do pray for the Sidney family and the passing of Claire. We pray for Elaine, for Hillary and Bobby, the ones that are involved with our church, and the rest of the family also. We just ask that you would encourage, strengthen. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. Thank you, Father, that we will see Claire again. And we also pray for the Gillette family and for Eula now as she is still hanging on to life and yet it does not appear as though it'll be long before she is in your presence. Again, Father, thank you for that blessed hope. And I pray that through both of these funerals that would be coming, that you would just bring honor and glory to your holy name. There'd no doubt be some who would be there who would be unsaved. And we pray, Father, that they'd recognize their need of Christ. So again, Father, we thank you that we can come to you with these requests and that we know that you hear us. Guide us in our study now at this time. May we glean from your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 31, we read the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. King Lemuel, who in the world is that? As you look back into the Old Testament, in the First and Second Samuel and First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles, where all the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel are listed, you're not going to find a King Lemuel. There was no such king in Judah. There was no such king in Israel. There was no such king mentioned in Scripture in any of the surrounding countries around Judah and Israel. The only mention of King Lemuel is right here, Proverbs 31, verse 1. So we don't know who it is. Apparently somebody respected in Israel to be included in this book of Proverbs. We don't know who it is. The name itself means unto God or for God. The idea, no doubt, being dedicated for God or unto God. Some have suggested, and that's all it is, it's a suggestion. There might be some reason and some things that we could look at here that would perhaps support the idea that King Lemuel was simply a nickname for Solomon. A nickname that perhaps his mother, Bathsheba, because this is the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Bathsheba was Solomon's mother. Was Lemuel a nickname that Bathsheba gave to Solomon? Did she dedicate her child unto God? The name Lemuel meaning unto God or for God. We know that the first son of David and Bathsheba died as an infant. And then they had a second son, Solomon. And if you want to keep your finger right here in Proverbs 31 and go back to 1 Samuel chapter 12. And just an interesting thought here that maybe supports the idea that Lemuel was actually Solomon. 2 Samuel 12, verse 24, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. This is after the loss of their first child. Went in unto her and lay with her, and she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now, Solomon means peaceful. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 22 that Solomon was named Solomon, which means peaceful, because God promised that he would experience peace and rest in the land. Remember, David was not allowed to build the temple. God did not allow him to build the temple because he was a man of war. And he said, your son Solomon will build the temple, and I will make sure that there is peace and rest in the land. And so based upon that promise of peace and rest in the land while Solomon reigned, he was named, when he was born, Solomon. Peaceful. So David names him Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. So David named him Solomon, peaceful, based upon the promise of God that he'd have peace in the land. But God named him Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord, is the name Jedidiah, because the Lord loved him. Jehovah loved him. But then notice those last words, because of the Lord, or for the Lord. Lemuel, for God, unto God. And so perhaps in the loss of their first child, perhaps Bathsheba, when Solomon was born, dedicated him to the Lord. He was for the Lord. He was beloved of the Lord. Even God named him Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord, because of the Lord. Perhaps Bathsheba did indeed dedicate him for the Lord or unto the Lord. And so we have this Lemuel. Again, We can't prove that, but there is a possibility that this King Lemuel was actually Solomon, and it is the words of his mother Bathsheba. Now, most of the Proverbs earlier on in Proverbs is Solomon giving instruction to his son, but here we have a mother giving instruction to her son. who is a king. Perhaps it's Bathsheba. Do you have any questions about that? Any comments? Again, don't go out of here saying that Don said that King Lemuel is Solomon. I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying it's a possibility that it is a nickname that Bathsheba had for Solomon. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Notice the increase in intensity. What, my son? What the son of my womb? Just a little more emphasis there. What the son of my vows? Even a greater emphasis. And so it progresses as she goes. And it seems as though there's just a recognition that she has so much to say and so little time to say it. Have you as a parent ever felt that way with your children? I mean, we've got 18 years or somewhere around that neighborhood maybe as they're in our home, but it just seems like it's just, even that's not enough time to really give them all the instruction they need for life. And so you just sense that from this mother. What can I say to you? What's the most important thing? There's so much to say and so little time to say it, and I want to make sure that I give you the most important instruction that I can. My son, the son of my womb, the son of my vows. What does that mean? What vow is this mother referring to? Again, possibly it's Bathsheba made a vow in the loss of her first child. Maybe made a vow that, Lord, if you give me another child, I will dedicate that child to the Lord. Maybe that was her vow. Remember Hannah, the mother of Samuel? Samuel was certainly the son of Hannah's vow. Hannah was barren and pleaded with the Lord to give her a son and said, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you. I'll give him back to you. And God gave her a son, Samuel. And sure enough, Samuel was dedicated back to the Lord and back to serve in the temple. And so Samuel was the son of Hannah's vow. And perhaps Solomon was the son of Bathsheba's vow. Whatever. This mother of King Lemuel had made a vow and referred now to King Lemuel as the son of her vow, one that she had dedicated to the Lord. Give not your strength unto women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Give not your strength or the word there, strength, your virtue, your honor. She's really addressing promiscuity. As a king, don't be promiscuous. Don't give your honor and virtue to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. If indeed this was Bathsheba speaking to Solomon, Solomon didn't listen, did he? Solomon didn't listen. Solomon's a perfect example of what this mother was talking about, one who did indeed give his honor to women, and his kingship was destroyed because he gave his ways to the women too. He married women who drew him away from Jehovah into false gods. And so if this was Solomon, he didn't listen to his mother. If it's not Solomon, Solomon's an example of what this mother was talking about. You'll destroy your kingship if you give your virtue and honor to women, and if you allow those women to take you away from the way of the Lord, it'll destroy your kingship. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of any of the afflicted. Pretty straightforward there. It's not good for one who's in leadership, a king, says a princess, or simply a ruler, one who's in the place of a king or being a ruler, to be intoxicated and forget the law, or to be intoxicated and to pervert the law. Those are the two possibilities that are mentioned here. You're going to forget the law, or in verse 5, you're going to pervert the law. You're going to pervert justice. And one who is drinking and intoxicated is not going to be a good leader, not going to be a good ruler at all. He's going to forget the law, and it not specifically referring to the law of Moses as such, though certainly that would be involved, especially with reference to Israel. The law of the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, was the law of the land, but to be more broad, it's just the law. And the king who is intoxicated is not going to abide by the law. They're going to forget that law, and they're going to pervert that law. They're going to pervert justice. And specifically, they're going to pervert justice of any of the afflicted. Again, we recognize that God is concerned about the oppressed. And a king who is intoxicated, a ruler who's intoxicated, is going to pervert justice, especially for those who are oppressed. And so the warning is indeed to not forget the law, not to pervert that law. But then we come to verses 6 and 7. Kings, rulers are not to drink, but give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that are of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So the king, the ruler, is not to drink, lest he forget. The one perishing is to drink so that he can forget. That's the proverb. Now, what is really being said in verses 6 and 7? Give strong drink unto him that is perishing, and wine unto those are of a heavy heart, or bitter of soul, or in anguish, depending on your translation. Is this condoning the idea that if you are heavy of heart, if you're sad, drown your sorrows in a bottle of wine? Is that what this is teaching? It kind of seems like it when you first read it. You're of heavy heart? Go drown your sorrows in some alcohol so that you can forget your sorrows. That's not really what it's teaching here. First of all, it says it gives strong drink to him that is ready to perish, one that's ready to die. They're on their deathbed. We have modern medication today that can help with the pain as one is dying, perhaps of cancer or whatever else it might be. And we have the morphine, and we have the other drugs that can take that pain away. They didn't have that back then. The best they had was some strong drink to help take the pain away. And that's what he's talking about here. To help with the pain of dying. Now, I wasn't dying there back 4 years ago when I had my accident. But I had 10 broken bones, one of those bones in three pieces. If I didn't have morphine and all they had was some strong drink, I'd have probably taken it. That was a lot of pain. And that's what it's talking about here. Now, it does say wine unto those of a heavy heart, bitter of soul or anguishing. I think we need to recognize the parallel here. In verse 4, it talks, it's not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to strong drink. It's parallel. King is a ruler. It's talking about the same people there. Kings, one who's ruling. Same thing here. The one who is perishing is the one who is anguishing. It's not two different categories here. It's not one perishing and then also one who's of a heavy heart or in anguish, but it's the same person. Just like in verse 4, it's the same person. The king and the ruler is the same person. Here, the one perishing and the one who is anguishing is the same person. So it's talking about one who is on their deathbed and easing the pain of death. And so don't take these verses as permission to go drown your sorrows in a bottle of wine. And it even says, let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. If you drown your sorrows in a bottle of wine, and the next day you wake up with a hangover and your sorrows are still there and you haven't forgotten them. But this says you forget him no more. Why? Why? Let him forget and remember his misery no more. Why no more? Well, because he died. He died. You eased the pain of death. That's, I believe, what these verses are talking about. And so we don't go to these verses to give permission to drown our sorrows in that bottle. Do you have any thoughts or questions about that? Verse 8, open your mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as appointed to destruction. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. It says, open your mouth for the dumb. The word dumb here, of course, is figurative for those who just can't speak for themselves, those who don't have a voice, those who cannot effectively speak for themselves. Mother here is encouraging her son as the king to stand up for those who can't effectively speak for themselves. And judge righteously. Don't take bribes. Don't be dissuaded by popular opinion. But judge righteously. Judge fairly. Judge justly. Especially for the poor and needy. And we've emphasized that throughout this study of Proverbs, how God cares about the poor and the needy. And we need to care for the poor and the needy also. This giveaway, I think, is a great example. Most of those 1,100 and some that came through the door, they were, by our standards, would be poor and needy. And we need to take care of the poor and the needy. And again, I understand that because of corrupt government, sometimes the poor and needy, and some people take advantage of all that, and we tend to maybe throw a lot of people into that, just taking advantage of the system. But there's a lot of people that truly are poor and needy that we need to be concerned about. God's concerned about them, and we need to be as well. Speak up for those who can't speak. I believe the unborn child fits in this category very well. We need to speak up against abortion. We need to speak up for the one who can't speak for themselves, that baby that's in that mother's womb. We need to take a stand. We need to speak up. We need to speak for the one who is dumb, the one who can't speak for themselves. And so I think it's a great verse to keep in mind. Abortion right now is a huge issue as we come to the midterms and the voting in November, and that's become a huge issue. We need to speak up for the ones who can't speak for themselves, that unborn child. We're going to conclude with that tonight. Like I said, I didn't want to get into the virtues. I knew we wouldn't finish that tonight, and we don't have time to even get started. So do you have any questions or comments? These eight verses, this is from King Lemuel's mother. And as far as we know, the rest of chapter 31 is continuing her thoughts to her son about the virtuous woman. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you so much again for this time together. Thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that we would take to heart these proverbs, and that we would recognize the importance of standing up for those who can't speak for themselves. Do pray for the elections coming up in this midterm. We pray, Father, that those of your choosing would be elected, and we do pray for this whole abortion issue. We'd ask, Father, that you would turn hearts and change hearts as we would take a stand for those who are in need. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Help us, Father, be faithful in our witness and in our testimony as we have shared testimony tonight. I pray that you would continue to keep before us the importance of just opening up our mouth, going across that room, speaking boldly, though humbly, of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Good evening. God bless you.